Okay. I would like to... May I have your attention? I'd like to do something a little bit different today. You know, when I was your age, we used to see many, many Jews with numbers tattooed on their arms. Holocaust survivors. Today, you don't see too many of those around. In fact, most of them are no longer alive. There are some, I don't know whether there's hundreds or there's thousands, but there really isn't that many. But what there is a massive and growing movement of Holocaust denial. People, evil people, who would rewrite history, would lie and deny an event which was so blatantly real and obvious and affected so many millions of people. As far as they're concerned, nah, it never happened. The gas chambers, those were showers just to clean up these dirty people. And all the stories were made up and things like that. Terrible, terrible things. So I have a challenge for you this morning, gentlemen. I would like to develop a system with you together just for a few moments, which can assure that 100 years from now, when there are no more living survivors, 200 years from now, 300 years from now, 500 years from now, that we will be able to go into a court of law and prove beyond any reasonable doubt that there was in fact this tragic era in human history known as the Holocaust. It's very important, because if the world denies that, then the world can do it again. The world can deny anything. Truth doesn't matter. Morality doesn't matter. Nothing matters. So it's very, very important to do. I'd like you to help me develop a system that we could be confident that a few hundred years down the line, that we will be able to prove beyond any reasonable doubt that in fact, in the 1940s, these tragic events took place. What do you have to say? Yes?
Well, we had the Nuremberg trials.
Okay, so we have trials.
We have videos.
We have videos. Now, the problem with videos and testimony per se is that many things can be doctored on it. Do you know that I have a video showing me together with George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Golda Meir, and Napoleon. All right. You know I have such a video?
Photoshop.
What's that?
It's Photoshop.
Yeah, you could do anything. We could do it ourselves today. I mean, I don't know how to do it. You guys, I'm sure, know how to do it. You could probably make yourself a picture with George Washington like nothing. You know, so that's not enough.
If you're gonna say, oh, I could Photoshop it. Oh, I could do it. Well, really, you could do anything.
No. Let's not give up. Okay? Let's not give up. Let's see if we can.
No, but I'm saying, if you're saying that people will go so far to disprove it, they can completely disprove Mitzrayim and say that was a
good idea. Wait. No,
I know you're not getting it,
so you want to get me out of here early? You don't want me to be here? Let me stay for a few minutes, okay? Anyway, like this. Okay, so now what can we do? What else can we do? That's something, but it's not enough. What can we do? Yes, sir.
Dig up a grave.
Who? Dig up a grave. Oh, so that you really can't prove it. You say, okay, this guy, oh, what, how are we going to dig up? And a lot of them don't even have graves. So, you know, it's not a practical thing to do. What can we do practically? Yes?
Wasn't there a mass burial where they just,
lined
all them up in a pit?
Yeah, so who knows? So you say, yeah, so there's a lot of people. There was an event. There was an earthquake and people died and they buried them there. They didn't know who they were. We need something stronger than that.
Tell your kid.
What are you telling your kids? Where did it come from?
You're telling your kids.
Why am I telling my kids? I don't know anything about it. I wasn't there.
Well,
you weren't there.
The parents told you about it.
We're getting someplace. I'd like to go a step first. I'd like to say, you know what we need first? A public gathering. Let's make up that next year, let's say in July this year, okay? We're going to get together in Jerusalem. We'll have to find a stadium bigger than I don't know what. But we're going to get together all the living Holocaust survivors and their children, grandchildren, massive people. We'll have hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of people in the audience who will be children and grandchildren of these Holocaust survivors. They'll all be up on the stage. And each one is going to give his testimony. Eyewitness testimony. Okay, now, very nice. So now we have a few, 10, 20,000 people listening to eyewitness testimony, and it all seemed to say the same thing, that these tragic events did, in fact, take place. There were gas chambers, a crematoria, there was this, there was that, the whole business. Okay, fine. Now, what are we going to do with that? Number one, let's make sure we write it down in a document and have it signed by each one of these people. These people testify that, in fact, these tragic events took place. And they give this document to their children and their grandchildren. Each one has a copy of the document. And each one of these children and grandchildren takes this document and goes home with it. They came from the far-flung corners of the earth. They came from Alaska. They came from Hawaii. They came from Timbuktu. They came from South Africa. And they came from Egypt. And they came from all over the world. And they're going back now. And they have this document, which is eyewitness testimony. Now, is that enough to keep it going a couple hundred years from now?
You say it's doctored.
Oh, you could say it's doctored. So what do we need? What else do we need? Let's see what else we can come up with. So I'm going to make some, if you don't have any suggestions, I'm going to make some suggestions. I would say let's make a club. Okay? It's always nice to have a club. Let's call it the Holocaust Memorial Club. And the rule, the club has to have rules. Purpose and rules. The purpose of this club is to assure that future generations will not be able to deny the existence of the Holocaust, and that we will be able to provide them with testimony. Testimony means people who saw can testify that these events took place. Okay, now, we have to have some rules in the club, and we have to have some things that we're going to do in the club, otherwise we can't have a club. So you know what the first rule in the club should be? You can only marry members of the club. Because if you marry people who are not members of the club, they could dilute the purpose of the club. This is a club where each person has accepted upon himself, he made an oath that my job, my purpose here is to assure that no one could ever deny the Holocaust. Okay, so we can't marry out of the club. That's one. What else do we do in the club? You know?
Let's get back. That rule's going to be broken.
What's that?
That rule's going to be broken.
Okay, listen, whether it be broken or not, I don't know, but if we don't have such a rule, then everybody might do it. So there might be exceptions. There might be people, but we'll see. Let's go on. Secondly, we have this document. If we just bury the document in the attic, it's not going to do very much. Let's make sure that this document is studied by everybody. Let's give everyone an obligation to teach this document to his children. Let's make sure that the document is read publicly and is finished, let's say, within the year. Let's make sure that the document has to always be accurate. And if there's ever a mistake in the document, it must be corrected immediately within 30 days. And you can't read from a document that has a mistake in it. Let's make sure that the person who reads it publicly could not even make a mistake in the reading. And if he does, let's correct him immediately. Not stone him, but let's correct him. How can you read? You misread it. So we are sure that this document is going to be accurate. And let's forbid change in this document. Let's even give the death penalty to anyone who dares to tamper with this document. This document will remain the same. They'll be taught by father to son, parent to child, throughout the world, wherever they are. All the same document. No one's allowed to change it. It'll be studied. It'll be finished in the year. It'll be read publicly the whole year. Any changes, any mistakes will be taken care of immediately. This gives us a little bit of a sense of preserving the document, which means, let me just finish, which means if we will come to court with this document and someone will say it was forged, we will have a very strong argument. And that argument will be, could you tell me how come there are 500,000 or 1 million copies of this document or 10 million copies of this document out there? How come they all say exactly the same thing? And we're talking about hundreds of years have gone by. And we're talking maybe about people who haven't had any communication one with another. It's not like one person changed one thing and then sent it out on an email or a text to the whole world or whatever you call the things that they shouldn't have. And everybody knows about it. Everybody change chapter 6, verse 3. Make sure you make the change. But we need more than that. We want in this club not only that there should be a document which is testifying to these events, but we want there to be lifestyle which will also testify. So the people who are reading the document and teach the document will live by this document and live by this document in a way that testifies that there was an event of the Holocaust. What can we do? What? Who? Oh, exactly.
Really?
You got it. Again, he's trying to get me out of here early. Give me another 5 minutes, okay? Very good. Yeah? So now, everybody has to wear a yellow star. That's one thing. Identification, a yellow star. Everybody has to wear a tattoo or something on their body, cut the body in a way that should know that they're part of this club. Everybody has to wear striped pajamas, whatever they want. You know? They will have holidays to celebrate the events. We'll have an event that celebrates the writing down. We'll have an event that celebrates the liberation. We'll have an event, and when we celebrate it, we'll eat the same kind of food that they ate there, and we'll discuss it, we'll read, and we'll tell everybody, we'll tell our children, tell the world what we're doing, and so forth and so on. And so many more and more and more things like this. Now, the question is like this. Let's say that we had such a club. And we had this document, and we were meticulous in following all the laws of the club, or at least there were many, many people throughout the hundreds of years that are committed, hundreds, thousands, maybe a million, maybe more, that are following the laws of the club. Now, comes along a Holocaust denier. The guy says like this, I will pay $100 million to anyone who can prove that there was in fact a Holocaust 400 years ago. $100 million if we could prove it. So what are we going to do? We're going to gather all the members of the club into the courtroom, a very big courtroom for that, and they're going to testify in front of the judge, the jury, whatever we have. And they're going to testify. They're going to say, I'm a member of this club. I have this document. I've been living by this document. My father gave it to me. My father's been living by this document. My grandfather's been living by this document. I remember when I was a child sitting at the Seder with my father and my grandfather together. And I heard from both of them, not just my father, but I heard from my grandfather too, exactly what went on over there. I said the Seder, that was a mistake. I take it back. We're sitting by the Holocaust dinner, okay? By the fireplace, that's right, good. Anyway, so now and we each one comes in and tells the same story. And they bring the document. And the judge looks at that. One document. 400 documents. 600 documents. 800. 1,000. 2,000. 3,000. 4,000. I know the judge has the patience for this. They're all identical! These people were separated from each other for hundreds of years. And pre all the, well, we have now, it's post, but with all the electronics, but all the same. And they live by this document. And they give their lives not to give up the commitment to this document. That group will come to the judge with such a strong testimony that, let me just tell you a little story and I'll be out of here. Once I presented this type of a talk in California many years ago. And I had come late to this particular seminar, so I wasn't familiar with the people in the room, like who they were. There was a lady standing against that wall. I still remember exactly. She stood like this with her hands against, behind her back, standing as the wall. She was asking me questions. And I had the sense that she didn't really get what I was trying to say. So I said, excuse me, let's assume that you were a judge in a California court and everybody erupted in laughter. So I said, what's so funny? She was a judge in California State Court. Something. So I said, oh, I got a judge here. This is just what I've been waiting for. Your Honor, could you please answer the following question? With the evidence that we have presented in the courtroom today, how would this issue be decided in your court? Did we prove the existence of the Holocaust or didn't? And, of course, we were talking about something else at the time. And she said to me, with far less evidence than you presented, you have proved your case. And we were then at that seminar talking about the case for Judaism, the case for Yetzias Mitzrayim, the case for Kabbalah's HaTorah, the case of the truth of the basics of our Torah and of Klal Yisrael. And this woman said, this judge said, that was far less evidence.
She was actually a judge.
Proved what?
She was actually a judge.
She was a judge. Yeah, she was. Yeah, no, it wasn't a judge. She was really a judge. And you see, the system that we have developed here to assure the remembrance of the Holocaust is exactly, as some of you recognized and pointed out, is exactly what we have in the Torah. The events that took place in Mitzrayim, on the Yam, and then at Har Sinai, and then in the Midbar, were recorded in a document. And that document was written over and given to each Shevet. And every Jew had access to it, and it was read publicly, and it was never allowed to be changed. And there were observances in it to testify to the fact that we, in fact, know the truth of this document. And we passed it on from generation to generation, and generation to generation. And when Jews came back from Tayman, from Yemen, to Eretz Yisrael in the 1950s, and they brought their Sifrei Torah, and they were separated from the European Jewry for maybe close to 2,000 years, and they were identical. One word. There was a hey at the end of one and an aleph at the end of the other, which didn't change, not the pronunciation, not the meaning. But that's all. That's all. Everything the same. Mind-boggling. And this is the testimony that we have. We have testimony that proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that these events actually took place. And that's why, by the way, that the non-Jewish world doesn't even attempt to deny these events. Not only that, they print it in their Bible. They print it in their Quran. Why? Because these events are the only indication, the only evidence that the Creator deals directly in this world, miraculously, with people. That he talks to people, that he does miracles with people. They have no such evidence. There is no such evidence other than what happened to the Klal Yisrael. And it cannot be denied because there is this whole club that serves to this very day as live witness testimony, even though the witnesses are not alive. But they set in motion such a sea of testimony, which this very day can convince a judge in any courtroom that beyond any reasonable doubt, these events took place. Therefore, if a Holocaust denier would offer $100 million to see if we could prove that the events took place, or if a Torah denier would offer $100 million in court, legally, to see if we could prove, we could come into a courtroom and beyond any reasonable doubt, which is the standard of proof in a courtroom, prove in front of the judge that the events in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Yam Suf, Kabbalah HaTorah are in fact historical events that took place, and we to this day, 3,300 years later, testify to the truth of these events.